Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 4, begin a reading verse 1, "And after these things I saw, and behold, a door had opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as the sound of a shofar speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show to you what is necessary to happen, metatauta, after these things. And immediately I became in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. And the one sitting was likened in appearance to a jasper and sardius stone. And a rainbow was around the throne, likened in appearance to an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in white garments. And they had upon their heads golden crowns. And from out of the throne is coming out lightnings and thunders and voices or sounds. And seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, a glassy sea, likened unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and all around the throne, were four living creatures, being full of eyes, in front and behind. And the first living creature was likened to a lion, and the second living creature likened to a calf or ox. And the third living creature had the face as a man. And the fourth living creature was likened unto an eagle flying. And the four living creatures, each one of them, had six wings apiece all around. And they were full of eyes inside, that is, the wings were. And they have no rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the one who was existing, the one who is existing, and the coming one. And whenever the living creatures should give glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting upon the throne, that is, to the one living forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one sitting upon the throne, and they worship, give worship to the one who is living forever and ever. And they throw their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because you created all things, and on account of your will they exist and were created. We're spending quite some time on the description around the throne of God. Remember, chapter 4, verse 1 is a transition verse. In Revelation 1:19, the Lord told John to write down the things which he saw. That would be the vision of Christ, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. Then the Lord says, write down the things which are in existing in John's day. That would be the churches, the message to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then he said, write down the things which are metatauta, after these things. That would be after the things of the church. Chapter 4, verse 1 starts out, metatauta, after these things. John saw a door standing open in heaven. And this first voice, which was as a trumpet or shofar horn, was speaking with him and said, come up here and I will show you what is necessary to happen, meta tauta, after these things. Chapter 4, verse 1 begins the third and final section of the book of Revelation, all the things that are to happen after the things of the church. These are the things that many believe will happen when the church has been raptured and is in heaven. As John was told to come up here, come through the open door, and John was shown the things that were about to happen upon the earth, they were shown to him from the heavenly point of view, from being up in heaven and looking down upon the things coming upon the earth. He said, immediately I became in spirit, that is, in the spirit realm, though physically on the island of Patmos. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. Interesting, I get to sort of elaborate on some of these words. A kato in the Greek text for was a setting or was set. It's an imperfect tense. It was kind of interesting because here in a couple of weeks when we read through Ezekiel chapter 1 together about these same things around the throne that Ezekiel saw, is that the throne is mobile. That these four living creatures are actually under, as the text tells us, that they're in the middle of the throne, and around the throne are four living creatures. So apparently this throne, just like the emperor's thrones in John's day, is that the emperor's throne could sit and where he could, in his chamber where he can rule and reign. But also when he moved around, that the servants actually came up and hoisted the throne, and off they went to wherever the king or the emperor wanted to go. And so this presentation here is that he saw a throne was set in heaven. And it was sitting there, mainly because it was a movable throne. And it gets picked up and placed in different places as Ezekiel saw them. So this throne was in heaven, and there was someone sitting on the throne. And the one who was sitting on the throne was likened unto a jasper and a sardius stone, the jasper being clear as crystal, like a diamond, and the sardius stone being red, ruby red. So the person on the throne had these colors coming out from him. Again, to emphasize to you what Revelation 21 tells us, that the New Jerusalem is actually made a city made out of crystal, like crystal. And the glory of God in the midst of the city shines out through this crystallized city, which is you and me. And what John sees is a prism, light shining through, the various colors of the rainbow shining through this prism. With God sitting on the throne in spiritual form, what John saw was a clear light and a red light coming out, emanating out from the throne. And we shared with you that's the first and last stone of the breastplate of the high priest. So it represents all of Israel from beginning to end, the first and the last. Then there was a rainbow around the throne likened unto an emerald. And that rainbow was a symbol of God's covenant and his promise. His covenant and his promise. When we stand before him one day and we see this golden, that's what an emerald is, it in itself is not going to be green, but that's the green that emanates out from it. As the glory of God shines through it, it is going to remind us that we're in heaven for one thing, out of God's covenant and his promise. Not out of our works, but his work and provision for us. Then we also saw 24 thrones, again, revealing that these 24 thrones, the same word as the single throne that he saw at the beginning. Some English texts say the first one, they translated throne, and the second one, a seat. They're both thrones. That means these 24 elders that he sees sitting on these thrones are ruling and reigning with the one who is sitting on the throne, the one throne. These 24 elders, we saw from the 24 courses of priests in 1 Chronicles chapters 24 and 25, And they represent a complete coverage. Not just completeness, but complete coverage. We're also told that these are elders, which is the word used for the church, the leaders of the church in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They are sitting. Therefore, the sitting position means that they're ruling and reigning. We studied many verses about how the church, the believers, are going to rule and reign with him one day. They had been clothed in white garments when John saw them. And of course, the promise to the church that one day we will be dressed in white. And on their heads were golden crowns. Again, we studied the passages of scriptures where we're told that we are going to wear the crown of life. Same word for crown, the Stephanos, the wreath, the crown that is given to the one who endures the trials, goes through the contest and wins in the end. And we also saw in chapter 5 that we haven't gotten to yet, verses 8 to 10, that they sing the song of redemption. So the conclusion is that these 24 elders who carry all the characteristics of the church, that they represent the church. And that we will see that as the four living creatures, whatever the four living creatures do, that signals the 24 elders of what they're supposed to do. And we will see later on that the 24 elders signal to us what we're supposed to do. It's a very orderly thing that's going on in heaven. We also saw in chapter 5 that coming out from the throne were lightnings and thunders and sounds or voices. And each time that's mentioned in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, it either denotes the presence of God or the judgment of God, and a lot of times both. So God is about ready to execute judgment. There's thunders and lightnings and sounds coming out from the throne. And there are seven lamps or torches of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And again, we've studied this twice. Seven is the number of completeness, which means that this is the complete ministry of the Holy Spirit who is standing before the throne. And before the throne was a glassy sea, like unto crystal. And then last week we left off at the end of verse 6. And in the midst of the throne were, in the midst of the throne and around the throne. So it's covered from all four sides. Were four living creatures being full of eyes in front and behind. This week we want to give you an introduction to these living creatures. Next week, we want to take in detail as to exactly who they are and what they do. The word here for living creature, that's the way we have translated it. The Greek word is zoon, from zao, which means to live. These are living beings, but we call them living creatures because living beings implies something human. Living ones causes confusion because we already know that they worship the living one sitting on the throne. So to translate it as living creatures, to show the difference between them and humans and them and the Lord, these are four created beings to be around the throne. And it's because of this word, and we'll see this next week, that the Hebrew Jewish tradition holds that these four living creatures represent all of life. We know that these four living creatures, they all have different faces, and yet they all have the same faces. How's that for confusion? We know in Ezekiel that each one of them have four faces, facing four different ways. What John saw is each one of them facing forward with a different face. He wasn't able to see the other three faces, but he saw four of them, each of them individual in faces that represent the wild beasts, the domestic beasts, the flying animals of the air, and then man. And that these living creatures were to bring judgment upon all of creation, even the human beings who had rejected Christ. It's a pretty interesting tradition that they hold. And they also hold that these four living creatures represent the zodiac. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. It shouldn't really, the zodiac might, but the Jews actually held because of Genesis chapter 1, where it says that he put the God put the great light in the heavens and the small light, that'd be the sun and the moon. He says, for in order to designate days, seasons, and signs. And the Jews actually have a chart of all the constellations, all of the stars, and each one, according to their approach to this, each one is a presentation of the gospel. It was a presentation of the coming of the Messiah. I think that's kind of interesting how they could see that and actually see the stars arranged in a certain way to bring a message of the gospel. So they consider these four living creatures as representative of the four corners of the zodiac presentation. They also believe that these four living creatures represent life that God has created, with the human face, meaning humankind, of course. We have the lion for the wild beasts. We have the ox or the calf for the domestic animals. And we have the eagle for the birds of the air. And so it's kind of an interesting hypothesis, all based on this word for living creatures that represent all of life. So we translate it living creature, not living beings, that's who we are, or the living one, because that's who God is. These are creatures, living creatures that have been specially made by God to be around the throne. And by the way, this word zoon is where we get our word zoo from. Zoology, zoological, all comes from zoon and zao, that means life. It is different than the word for beast. There's another word, therion, that is found in chapters 13 and 17 of the book of Revelation, about the great beast and the small beast that rise up out of the sea. It's a completely different word. These are not beasts. These are living creatures that are not said to be the wild beast kind. They appear throughout the book of Revelation 8 times. The book of chapter 5, 3 times. Chapter 5, verses 6, 8, and 14. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Chapter 7, verse 11, chapter 14, verse 3, chapter 15, verse 7, and chapter 19, verse 4. I highlight those because each one of these living creatures will be involved in the judgments. Each one of them is going to step forward and pronounce a judgment upon the earth, and the angel will be sent out to bring one of these judgments. These living beings are also called cherubim and seraphim. Cherubim and seraphim. That's the plural form. It's cherub and seraph. Cherub and seraph would be the singular forms. Cherub, we don't have an actual word meaning for that, but the seraph means something fiery or brilliant. So this is beings that have some glitter to them, some shine, some brightness to them. And these four living creatures in Revelation appear to be connected to Ezekiel's also vision of the four cherubim. They're called cherubim in Ezekiel chapters 1, verses 5 to 10, and chapter 10, verse 20. But they are called seraphim, same creatures, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. So Ezekiel, he has his vision of the throne in Ezekiel chapter 1, and that's where it tells us that these living creatures are underneath the throne. And the life that comes out from the throne radiates through the wheels of these living creatures. And they move with the life coming out from the throne, and that spiritual life is given to the wheels, and they move and they carry the throne around. And again, Isaiah, he sees also the vision at the throne. So Ezekiel sees the vision. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees the vision. They all see different aspects of these creatures. But it's interesting, we're going to read through it after we get through with the chapter here in a couple of weeks. There are different descriptions of the cherubim. In Ezekiel chapter 1, they're presented as having four faces, where in Revelation, John says they only have one. That's not a contradiction. It just means that John saw the one face that was pointing at him. He didn't see the ones on the side or on the back. We're going to see that he has four wings. In Isaiah, he says they have six wings. There's two that cover the feet, two that cover the face, and with two they fly, presenting the fact that they are actually carrying the throne of the Holy One, whom they cannot look upon his holiness, and they're on holy ground, so there's wings covering their feet, and with the other two, they fly. The first time the cherubim are mentioned is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. You remember that God, after Adam and Eve sinned, the cherub was put in the garden. The cherubim were put there to keep man out of the garden. And they were told to preserve and care and guard the garden. Interesting note, Satan himself, the Bible teaches, was originally a cherubim. That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, says that Satan himself was a cherubim. So these creatures appear to be an angelic-like being that are specially created to be around the throne, to transport the throne wherever God wants to go in heaven. His rule and reign is from this throne. And they are very involved with the things upon the earth, especially the judgments in the last days, but also to guard the Garden of Eden. So they are like the Lord's right-hand angels, so to speak. So they're very important. Now for the description. It says in our text that they are full of eyes. That does not mean that they are omniscient, or omniscient, that knows everything, or omnipotent, all-powerful. The eyes denote that they are aware, comprehensive knowledge. They're aware constantly of everything that's going on. In other words, they don't go to sleep on the job. In fact, we'll see in a moment that they are constantly moving. Ezekiel says that they're always moving. That when they move so fast, it's like lightning. So those of you that are race buffs, when we get to heaven, you're going to enjoy the little chariot throne races as they dart back and forth across heaven. Each one of them are distributed with wings. It says in Isaiah 6, chapter 2, they have six wings. That's the reference that I just gave you here in our text. It says they have four. He saw four. They literally have six. Either he didn't see the two at the bottom, he didn't see the wheels either. So he saw certain aspects about these cherubim that both Ezekiel and Isaiah saw different approaches and from different sides of the throne. It says in the Greek text that they are in the middle of the throne and around the throne. That means they're all around the throne, probably one on each side of the throne. And they encircle it and surround it. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, in the Septuagint, it says the seraphim stood around the throne. So even Isaiah saw them as all around the throne, not just standing in front of it. In Ezekiel's vision, they serve to carry the movable throne. But there's other places in the Old Testament where these cherubim, living creatures, are said to be doing things. In 2 Samuel 22:11, The Lord is said to ride upon a cherubim to come to the relief and the aid of God's people. Also in Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, God is somebody who dwells upon the cherubim and between the cherubim. Remember in the tabernacle area, when the children of Israel were told to make the mercy seat, they were to make it also with sculptured creatures. They were called the cherubim, two of them, one on each side of the mercy seat. And at the mercy seat is where God communicated with the high priest as they came into the temple. But in heaven, God is seen as dwelling between the cherubim when people have seen his visage. Psalm 99:1, that he sits between the cherubim in heaven. Isaiah 37:16, he is the one who dwells between the cherubim. So it's mentioned several times. These cherubim and God dwelling between them. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 12 and 17, it says that they are constantly in motion. Your reference, Ezekiel 1, 12 and 17. In Ezekiel, the cherubim are seen under the throne, carrying the throne on each side. So in the midst of the throne, There seems to be a representation that from in the midst of the throne, the four living creatures are seen coming out from the throne. Well, in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel saw the four living creatures, he saw the throne, and then he said, a fierce wind came from the north, and a large cloud came from the north and settled right over the throne. And around this throne were lightning flashes going back and forth. And he could hear the sounds and the thunders and the lightnings. And from out of the cloud, that's right in the middle of the throne, came the four living creatures. Amazing. We're told in our text that they have no rest. There's no stopping. There's no cessation of activity. They're constantly moving. It tells us that they're constantly in movement daytime and nighttime, by day and night. It's called the genitive of time, those of you that are following in the Greek text. There are some 13 theories that I have found about who these living creatures are. We know that they are angelic beings, that they are called living creatures and cherubims and seraphim. And those words are used interchangeably to talk about the same creatures. They appear to be some very special creatures that were made by God to be his attendants and, of course, to carry his throne, but also to signal everybody else what they're supposed to be doing in heaven. But it's just very interesting exactly why are there four living creatures? Why do they have these four different faces? And what do they represent? Next week, we're going to get, that's just the introduction for you this morning, but next week, we're going to get into a detailed account. I'm going to draw some pictures for you of the tabernacle and the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. And why do the Jews hold that these four living creatures, these ones that represent life, why do they hold to them so dear and have such a tremendous importance to Jewish tradition and literature, as well as the Old Testament? I think you'll be amazed at who these creatures are and what they represent and what they're for. They are applied to the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. They also apply to the four Gospels in the New Testament. Some people say that that's kind of a stretch, but not if you understand that from the beginning of creation until the end in the book of Revelation, God has revealed himself on the throne, and all of the activities around the throne. And that representation has been found in so many places in the Old Testament and new places that represent the vision of God, the four different faces, the four different characteristics, as detailed in the Gospels, shown in God's leading of the children of Israel through the wilderness as found in creation. It's interesting that God thought it so important to have a pattern of what heaven is like and what it's like around the throne for his people to hold on to as a living hope. You might say, well, what do the four living creatures have to do with us? I mean, it's enough for us to take comfort in knowing that God's on the throne, that he's in charge of everything. But also these living creatures who go about the task of fulfilling God's will, is they're full of eyes. They have comprehensive knowledge of everything that's going on. There's no lapse in heaven. You and I might sleep at night. They don't sleep because they're constantly on the job, as you might say. God is constantly moving. He's constantly operating. These living creatures are constantly moving all of the time. They never stop. It's not because God wants to take a vacation, so let's go to Catalina and then, transporting him around. They are actually been created to fulfill the will of God. And the activities of heaven are right now, all of this movement in heaven has to do with what's happening on the earth right now in our day. With the political and economic and religious systems of the world coming together to become one. All to prepare it for the arrival and the revelation of the Antichrist. And everything, there's movement going on all the time right now. There's activity going on. You ever sit in the quietness with yourself to rest and relax and enjoy the quiet and have a peaceful time with the Lord, either reading the Word or praying or just fellowshipping with him? Just nice to know that there are times when we stop. God doesn't stop. Remember in John chapter 5 when they came to Jesus and they accused him of breaking the Sabbath day because he healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. He took up his bed and went home like Jesus told him to. And they said, you made him work on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, my Father works today and I work. They're like, you're making yourself God. But he was telling them, you don't get it. You know, it's the Sabbath day, whatever day you think it is. Let's say it's Saturday, because that's what the Bible says the Sabbath day is. You think God takes a nap? He's always working. He never stops. So what's with this work thing, you know? He has to get us to stop. And just like he did with the Jews. It's a forceful thing. You got to stop. I command you to stop and think about me sometime. You know? Spend all week long doing your thing, but just stop. Take a day. Fellowship. Think upon the things of the Lord. But he's working all the time. Activities going on. As the armies used to say in the Civil War, as they're waiting for the enemy to attack, all of a sudden they see people running around in the woods. They say, well, they're getting ready. There's activity. Getting ready to attack. There's activity in heaven. God's moving from one end to the other. Things are being prepared. Things are going on that control and dictate the things here upon the earth. Fascinating creatures. Fascinating to know that the Lord would create them. Even more so fascinating to study and learn who they are and what they do. It all has to do with us, as we'll see next week. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for drawing our attention to the throne of God. Lord, you know our attention is drawn to many things here upon the earth. Help us to understand that in heaven there's activity. Heaven is preparing for the next phase. Heaven is bringing about the next phase, getting ready to bring judgment of God upon the earth, not upon the church, but upon the non-believing world. Lord, as we pass through this life with its difficulties and hardships, May we look to you in the throne. One day we will be there. And as Paul said, that the sufferings of this present life do not compare to the glory that we will see and be when we go to be with Christ. That this is just but temporary. Peter said, even if you have to grieve for a short time, it's all worth it compared to the glory that we will see and be with the Lord. Lord, give us that living hope that Peter talked about. That hope is alive. That you are alive and living. Your spirit is alive and living and active. We pray that you would teach us to trust you, to be observers as you decree in heaven and your living creatures and angels and the ones that you have created in heaven for these purposes as we watch things come from heaven and come about here on the earth. Help us to see that we are just observers of your plan and your will. Teach us to be at peace. Teach us to experience your joy, your calmness in the midst of the storm, just because of us knowing who you are, because you give us a glimpse of the throne, because we know your will is being carried out here upon the earth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.